This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Recently, I asked a friend to join me on the New Yorker Radio Hour for a pretty big occasion. So, Lena, you in about 2 hours, you're going to be at your birthday party celebrating your 30th birthday. And so what we did is we brought into the studio a big, giant bottle of champagne. Let's see if we can uncork it.
Oh, my God.
And make the appropriate
sound.
There it is.
Yay!
Happy birthday.
Thank you, David. This means a lot. I've known you now for 4 birthdays.
That's right.
You just so you guys get, at home can see, it's a bottle of Manischewitz that he's poured for me.
That is not true. What is I've known Lena Dunham for years. And we spoke just hours before she headed off to her birthday party. Turning 30 is a huge event in anybody's life, but Lena is the creator of the show Girls, the defining TV show of our era about life as an urban 20-something. And so you've got to wonder if closing that chapter could pose some sort of career issue for her, as well as the usual angst. Are you anxious at all about turning 30? Your show, your film, your newsletter, your presence in the world has all been about, in
not
some way,
being 30.
Not being 30, yeah. About being young and growing into yourself. And is this odd for you?
It's funny you ask. I feel thrilled about it. I've always liked the idea of being someone who's like past my major childbearing portion of things, doing my work, enjoying children who are old enough to talk and who I have and have friends who I like regularly meet for ethnic food. Like, that's just what I want my life to be. And I feel like, I mean, so much of what the show's about is how full of sort of not just sort of romantic but existential drama your 20s are. And I just, the amount of times I text a friend and they write back, I'm depressed, but I'm not sure why, considering my job is good, but maybe my boyfriend just isn't fun enough. Like, it just seems like everybody's problems, like, I'm talking about obviously a very specific echelon, highly privileged New Yorkers, girls who live partially supported by their parents in Brooklyn. But I will say that there's a sense that it's like everybody needs something a little more high stakes to worry about.
You are right now filming the sixth and last season of Girls.
Yeah.
And the season we've all just seen was something immensely deeper, at times darker, than what we remembered from the first season, the second season.
Are you okay?
I'm great, you know? I work at, as the assistant manager in the second biggest cat cafe in Tokyo, and everybody's really jealous about that, and I'm dating this beautiful Japanese man, and we're gonna lose our virginities to each other, so everything's really perfect, you know? Like, my life is perfect.
Yeah, you seem great.
Yeah,
you're not like, oh wait, you're like fully crying.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'm really sad. And I'm really f***ing lonely.
And did you have any idea, Lena, where you wanted your 4 characters, and it's more than 4 characters really, where you wanted them to end up and where you wanted them to land in terms of their lives?
At that point, I remember thinking, If we get to make a pilot, Dianu, to use the language of our people, that will be amazing, and I'll have that in my arsenal. Then when it got picked up, I went, oh, my God, if we get to do one season of this, I can't believe it. So
it's more of a scramble than we'd imagine.
So for the first two seasons, I think I was living with so much of a fear that all I'd ever heard about TV was, like, you get canceled, you get pushed aside. I didn't believe that we were going to have – until probably season three, I don't think I understood that we were going to have the – as supportive as HBO was, this was all my baggage. I didn't know that we were going to have the choice to end this how we wanted to and when we wanted to. And so – when it became apparent, like probably around season three, that, you know, we were going to get to make this show kind of for as long as we felt we wanted to, I think that's when we really started to put our heads together and think, like, so what's this going to look like? When's the right time to end this? Where do we want these girls to wind up? And I think that's when we were like, oh, let's start thinking about this in a more, like, holistic, long-term way because
– with what's called arcs, longer arcs and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And then before season five is when we decided, like, okay, season six is when we're probably going to want to end this thing.
Why? Because you're turning 30? No.
Well, it is a kind of neat and tidy coincidence. But I think our feeling was just, like, we wanted to make sure that we didn't start to overstay our welcome or that it didn't start to feel like that kind of sitcom convention of dragging on these. The fact is, like – these are characters who've been growing apart for a long time. And so at a certain point, it's going to make sense that their friendships really do splinter. And then what is the show?
How do you go, birthday is lovely and we'll have a great time tonight and all this, all the rest. Then there's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So how do you live the next part of your life creatively and personally after this enormous chapter and run of artistic achievement and psychological complexity, all of it. Now, there is a kind of door that you're walking through.
Well, I think a lot about the show, and who knows how I'll feel afterwards, but I think a lot about it as being a particular period of my life when I really went for it, sort of like excising the trauma of what it was to be young and talking about these issues. And I'm really looking forward, you know, like the next book I'm doing is a book of fiction. Whether there's things that from my life are recognizable, 100%, but it's still – that's a different thing. I'm looking – I'm so excited to be like
– tell me about that and insofar as you want to.
No, I'm thrilled
to. A book of fiction. Why that and what's it about?
It's a book of short stories. It's – I'm not exact. I'm doing it with Random House, although I'm not sure if 100% when it's coming out. It's about half – it's a bunch of short stories and a novella and –
knowing you, it's already done. Because, like, the first time we met, I said, maybe you should write more, like the essay on Nora Ephron. And by the time I got home from the restaurant where we met, there was on my screen a manuscript of 14 pieces.
And you were probably like, God damn it. Why? Now I have to fucking read this.
That was quick.
I did a bunch of them, but I think that the thing that I'm realizing is that fiction isn't, it's some, like, essays, there's a certain sort of, like, looseness to the form. And of course, you can be cool and experimental with fiction, but I'm not George Saunders. I'm me. So I have to figure out a way to do them that I have to figure out what my form is and make it sort of sound like my voice. But I just felt strongly like I had stories to tell that weren't exactly my own. And there were – again, it's this thing about kind of taking your experience. Like, I don't want to write about being a famous person. That's the most boring thing in the world. But there are analogous experiences. There are experiences that might involve some of the same emotional realities that aren't, you know, me going, it was so hard for me to come home – to go to work the day after the Met Ball because I was tired and felt emotionally drained.
That is a bitch. By the way,
it was tiring, but it does. It's not that fun to hear about.
And you've also got a new project, Lenny, which is a newsletter, a web magazine that you've been working on with your collaborator Jenny Connor. And it's not really a Lena Dunham branding exercise as such. You've got a real point of view here. Tell me how that came about.
Well, that was the goal, which is not to do something that was like a vanity project or a sort of lifestyle site, because if someone wanted lifestyle information, I would not be the person that they would come to anyway. But it felt as though, like, Twitter is a landmine. You don't necessarily want to go there to have a 140-character per fight with somebody. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to express your opinions about sort of what it is to be female now, both politically and personally in a longer form way. And I wanted to be able to support the voices of other writers because I feel like I've had this, like, tremendous gift of if I've got an idea, if I've got something I've got to say – there's a good chance that I'm going to get a couple of people to listen to me. And so What I thought would be so great is if I could take that platform and give some space to some writers who have a different perspective or an unheard perspective.
And were these writers that were getting sort of shut out of other media, or you felt that you would be able to target an audience in a different way?
I think it's a combination. I think it's like Lenny is a really – I think that the internet can kind of like create the illusion that everybody's getting heard when they're actually not, when they're actually getting drowned out. And so – obviously, the feminist dialogue on the internet has never been louder, and that's a really great thing. But it also creates a lot of discontent about who are the loudest voices and how did they get that way. And so Lenny was – the goal was to level the playing field.
Right. Lena, you go to campuses here and there. You go to mm-hmm. – you're a graduate of Oberlin, which is a big formative
– a distinguished arguing college.
Distinguished arguing college. And how do you – when you – go to campuses and you have conversations, how does that square with the kind of caricature that we're hearing about all the time about safe spaces and trigger warnings and all that stuff? Is that the reality of what you're seeing there, or is it more complex? Or what is your sense of the way political discussions are taking place on campus? What's your concern? What do you think? Is it just not a reflection of how it's going on?
It's a great question. The last time I went to Oberlin about a year and a half ago, I believe. Maybe it was more like 2 years now. And I felt like I went in kind of ready to, I was like, oh God, am I going to get in trouble for like, am I going to get, you know, told that I triggered the whole audience and they're all going to walk out? Somebody told me there was going to be a protest of me, but they couldn't seem to really explain to me why there was going to be a protest of me. And
did what you ever find out?
Somebody told me that I was a line item in the story of what did they say? How does it feel to be a line item in the so many people's story of privilege and oppression?
Okay.
And I was like, that's a big job. I didn't know I had it. But what I actually found was a bunch of super curious people who wanted to laugh and wanted to be entertained. And I think the thing that I felt even when I was at Oberlin, which was the word trigger warning had not even entered the lexicon when mm-hmm. I was at Oberlin, was that like there's amazing pluses and amazing minuses to giving young, unformed people power over the direction that a community takes. And at its best, it starts these conversations that would never even occur to the adults in the room. And at its worst, it like drives out free speech like wildly and aggressively. And the thing that's rough for me about like the whole trigger warning culture is that, you know, I have plenty of stuff. I'm a survivor of sexual assault. I have plenty of stuff that I've got a lot of, you know, anxiety issues. I have plenty of stuff that triggers me. But I also like to be given the respect to given the respect that I can handle ideas without internalizing them. And there's some sense that we need to like protect students like gentle flowers when the fact is like ideas aren't the thing that hurt people.
Lena, you've been campaigning here and there for Hillary Clinton.
Here and there and everywhere.
And everywhere. And yet, in the circles that you travel in, I would bet there are a lot of Bernie people, a lot of Bernie Sanders people.
For sure the minority.
Now,
there's people who don't want to, who are for Hillary but don't want to talk about it because they don't feel like dealing with whatever backlash is going to come from their peer group or come from the internet or whatever.
So describe that backlash to me. What do you feel?
It's interesting. I get a lot of comments on Instagram that are like, I thought you were cool. I thought your heart was in the right place. I thought you got it. And it's interesting because it's a reminder to me, like, there's something about my politics that's like distinctly sort of second wavy. Like, I'm sort of,
break that down for me. What second wavy means?
Like that I am I'm, you know, like a Gloria Steinem, Kitty McKinnon, bell hooks loving, although bell hooks is into Bernie. So, you know, I'm like the energy of 1970s feminism, 1960s, 1970s feminism still feels as applicable to me as it did today. It's like nothing makes me crazier than when sort of somebody looks at Gloria Steinem and goes, hashtag white feminism, because she is a white feminist, but her.
What with Flo Kennedy at her side?
Her whole mission has been to like take the women that she, to take marginalized women and try to make them the face of
Helena, why movement. Why Hillary and not Bernie for you?
I think she's the most qualified person for the job. I think that I don't mind the idea of having somebody who's a member of the establishment because guess what? The government is an establishment and there needs to be somebody who understands how to navigate it. But also, if all I wanted was a female in the White House, why wouldn't I have been running around behind, you know, Sarah Palin fixing her skirts?
There's been discussion among young people and old people, about how Hillary performs gender. You hear her critics talking about shouting and yelling and why does she raise her voice and how she looks and is she... Do you ever get a sense from talking to Hillary Clinton about how she feels about this more than beyond what she allows herself publicly?
I think when I interviewed her, something that she said was that I really liked was I asked her a question about fashion. And I wanted to be respectful, but also fashion is a part of what she has to deal with in a way that perhaps a male president doesn't. He goes and gets some Xenia suits and lives his life.
And then she has to get the jackets.
And she's got to get the jackets and she's got to get the dresses and she's got to get the gowns. And if you think about how much we think about what Michelle Obama's wearing, and Michelle Obama happens to ace it all the time, but not everybody's at Michelle Obama's level of fashion wizardry. And Hillary said, like, I was asking her about this Donna Karan dress that she'd worn early in her time at the White House. And she said, I like it. And people don't get this, like, I like to have fun with fashion. What's the point of spending all this time if you're not going to get to enjoy yourself? And I thought about how much this experience of being analyzed sort of, you know, each hand gesture and each facial gesture and your voice getting raised and whatever, how your voice getting raised and then your voice getting lowered, how much of the fun it must take out of it for her. And I
fun is never a word that we associate with Hillary Clinton somehow.
I found her, when I spent time with her, to be humorous, joyful, an excellent listener. The other thing is this, which is like every time I turn on the TV, I feel like Bernie's screaming at me. I don't have a problem with it. You know, I have a Jewish grandfather. I know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. But it's just an interesting
thing. Too much
salt. Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing to see this person who's fully expressing his identity nonstop and being rewarded for it. So's Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is expressing his identity. He's yelling. He's laughing at his own jokes. He's given permission to just go ham, hard as a mother, as Kanye West would say. And she's just not. I don't know. I trust that her beliefs and her I trust in her beliefs and I trust in her ability to execute in her beliefs.
Lena, thank you so much. And happy birthday again to you. I'm going to clink your glass.
It's an honor. Yeah. I hope that all the Bernie bros don't come after me, but I also feel like they've already done what they can. I'm so happy to be here with you. It's a joy.
Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Lena Dunham, creator of the show Girls and of the newsletter Lenny. You can find out more about that at newyorkerradio.org.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.